Romans chapter 15. I just can't say enough how much I have thoroughly enjoyed studying this thing of prayer, if you will, acting upon this idea of prayer. And we are just a few Sundays away from the end of the year. And I do hope that perhaps your prayer time has grown. I'm not going to set a denomination on it as far as the quantity or how much time you spend. But I do hope it's more than you started with this year. Okay? And by the way, don't be ashamed if it's just 5 minutes more. That's growth. Okay? And hopefully it's more than that. But, you know, maybe your sweet 5 minutes of prayer has turned into sweet 15 minutes of prayer. By the way, that's a victory. Okay, that's growth. That's good. Now, I do hope maybe it's extended to an hour. That would be fantastic that the last Sunday of the year, we can all sing sweet hour of prayer and mean it. That would be a wonderful opportunity for us at the end of the year. But here we are in Romans 15. If you'll stand together out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, Romans 15, and we're going to look at begin at verse 22. So you can start with me on verse 22. We'll read down through the end of the chapter, which is verse 33. But I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses. So we'll all begin together in verse 22. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for in Jerusalem, that I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. You probably have noticed that the phrase we're going to pull from for the title, if you will, or for the thought today, is as Paul says here in verse 30. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the, that's a capital S Spirit, okay? It's for love of the Holy Spirit. He says here that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Okay, so Paul is saying, look, church, I want you to strive together with me. He says, and think of this, he says, in your prayers to God for me. To me, the wording of that is just amazing. We're going to focus on the strive together part, but Paul is saying, look, I want you to strive together with me in your prayers. So in other words, Paul is saying, I'm going to enter into your prayers, but your prayers that you're praying are for me. And so I'm going to enter into that. I'm going to pray for me too. You know, it's not wrong to pray for yourself. You need to do that. What Paul is asking here is he is asking for a band of believers to come together and strive together to pray together. And so I hope you understand that the reason why we do public prayer, the reason why we have a prayer time on Wednesday nights, the reason why we put together a prayer list and put it out there is so that we can strive together in our prayers. And listen, why do you have to do it alone? Now let me ask you a question. Have we studied about alone prayers? We have. And by the way, Jesus specifically in the model prayer and in the lead up to the model prayer, he cautions us about public prayer. He does not forbid public prayer, but he cautions us as to the motive of those prayers. But Paul says, look, public prayer, this striving together in prayer, is an important thing. You understand that if I'm a servant of the king, and you're a servant of the king, that makes us servants of the king. And guess what? Me serving by myself is a good thing. But us serving together is a better thing. We're striving together for the work of the Lord. So if we're going to, by the way, how many of you think that if I go out soul winning, right, by myself, that's a good thing. But if 30 of us go out soul winning, that's a better thing. Right? How about if I study my Bible, that's a good thing. I mean, how many think I should do that? That's a good thing, right? Okay. But if all of us study our Bibles, that's a better thing, right? Because the people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures, right? That's what they did. And that was a good thing. If one of us prays to God, we come individually in our closet, which we should do, and we pray to God, that's a good thing. But what if we strive together in our prayers? That's a better thing. And so Paul says here, and by the way, this is the only place in Scripture this is mentioned as far as this particular wording, but he says that I want you to strive together with, let me read it back again what he says. He says, that ye strive together with me. So he says, I want you to strive with me in your prayers for me. So he says, I want you to strive together with me in your prayers for me. It's just a weird wording the way he does that. But it does make sense. And we're gonna unpack this here in just a moment. But I want you to understand the word strive, does mean a struggle, okay? But it can be taken positively or negatively, right? God says something about his spirit not striving with man, right? And he limited the number of years that man could live. There was that phrase. That's negative. Okay? This particular wording, it is positive. It just means to partner or to struggle in company. In other words, we're all struggling against something else or in something else together. We're partnering together to do this. In Webster's dictionary, it tells us that strive just means to make effort, to use exertion, to endeavor with earnestness, to labor hard, to exert body or mind. That's what it means to strive. By the way, should all of those be apportioned to prayer? Yeah. Okay, we have talked extensively about the earnestness of prayer, right? The fervency of prayer. This is a good thing. But we get to do this together, not alone. And look, this is how the Christian life should be. When we strive in prayer, right, we're putting forth the effort, we're putting forth the earnestness, the fervency. And listen, as an individual calling out to God, that is a great thing. But if we link it all together with others fervently and earnestly striving together, it's a better thing. You've heard my saying before, right? good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. Okay, that's a great, I don't know if it's a poem, saying, or whatever it is. It's not original with me. I heard it somewhere else before. But it's a good saying. So, good, right? Prayer is good. Better is, you know, fervent, earnest prayer is best. Striving together in your prayers. And so we've got to realize that we can grow in our depth of prayers. Think about this as we, if you will, wrestle with God, right? In prayer. When you think of striving together, right? If you're trying to get a hold of God, you can do it like Jacob did, right? And try to wrestle that angel, right? By yourself. Or you can have help. Right? You can have help. One of the things that they would do often at Trinity, where I was a member, of course, and on staff, is for special days and big days, like for a friend day or for something like that, they would have an around-the-clock prayer and fasting sheet. And they put a sign-up list out in the foyer, and you could sign up to pray and fast at a certain time. And their goal was that for 24-hour periods, there would be somebody praying and fasting. You know what that is? Striving together in prayer. That's kind of like a tag team, you know. You know, I'm worn out, so I'm going to tag you, and so you can go next, you know, and be refreshed and ready to go. That's, why not, right? That's wonderful. But it's believers working together in unison and in accord with one another. You understand that we can wrestle God by ourselves or try to take hold of God by ourselves, but we can do it in company, as this word means. In company, strive together in our prayers. You know, it's good to have people, like-minded people, on our side. Now think about Paul, and I want you to think about the actual understanding of this particular passage. What was his desire for these people? That he could come and minister to them in person. Was that his desire? It was. Okay? Now, how strongly did he feel about this desire? Very strongly. Let me ask you a question. Did he have prayers for himself for God to bring him to them? He did. And by the way, as far as what the scriptures tell us, did they have prayers for him to come and minister to them? It seems to be the case. So that's why he lays out this presentation, and he says to them how important it is. He tells them his plans. Hey, I've got this offering that I need to take to Jerusalem. It's important. But I want you to pray that I can do that successfully, that it will be received. And then as I go to Spain, I can stop and see you in person. I mean, he lays out the map of how it's all supposed to go. And then he says to them, I beseech you, brethren. By the way, that's important when you beseech someone. Okay? He's not just asking, he's asking fervently, all right? He's asking with emotion, with importance attached to it. He says, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. So, hey, this is not about me, folks. This is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is about Jesus Christ and his church. He says, it's also for the love of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, for these reasons, I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you, brethren. He says, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Because did he know what was going to happen in Jerusalem? He did. He tells us here. He says that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He knew there was a stumbling block there. He knew there was a possibility. By the way, does that happen? It does. And guess what that brings him to? Not to Spain, but to Rome. Isn't that funny? But think about it. He says, there's some pitfalls here. There's some dangers along the way, and you need to strive together with me so we can overcome this. So that I can come to you, so that I can meet and fulfill these things that I know I need to do for the work of the Lord. And so you understand that is important for us to, if you will, enlist others to meet together at the throne of grace. We can strive together to get a hold of God. And what better thing? How many of you like to do, you're just kind of a loner, you like to do things just all by yourself? Anybody like that? There's a few. Okay. All right. Okay. But even those that like to do that, don't you find some either joy or solace or relief in doing some maybe big things together? Yeah. Listen, folks, there are plenty of things in our lives of prayer that we can do by ourselves. And it's no sweat, right? How many of you are like me, where I would rather probably do it myself than have somebody else with me because it's just too hard to teach them and it takes too much time and I can do it faster on my own? Is that okay? That's many of you like that. Okay, now, there are some things like that, but you know what? We were successful in putting up a partition in our gymnasium. So those of you that come to fellowships and things, no more volleyballs flying in your food. Okay, or hitting you randomly in the head. We have a net now that'll stop that from happening, I hope. Okay, but we put up a cable from one end of the gym to the other. You know, I might have been able to do that by myself, maybe. But I also might have fallen on my head and, you know, cracked it open, you know, and died there in the gymnasium with nobody else knowing I was there because sometimes I'm stubborn enough to do things by myself, okay? But, you know, it was better to strive together with a 6'4", almost 200-pound strong young man and a very wise and knowledgeable, slightly older gentleman of great experience, my father. that was better. And guess what? We strove together to accomplish that work because it was a great work. You know, prayer is a great work. And sometimes, yes, we can handle it by ourselves. And sometimes, if you will, the little thing. But it's so much better to strive together in prayer. Paul thought it was important. By the way, anybody want to say that you're as good of a man or woman of God in prayer than Paul was? I'm not going to. Okay? I think this guy was a pretty mighty giant in the realm of prayer. What does he need helpers for? You know? It'd be like asking an average person like me to go help a professional wrestler wrestle someone. It's like, what do you need me for? You know, a distraction? You know, I don't know. You want to use me as the device you hit the other person with? I mean, I'm not sure what the point would be. I mean, wouldn't that be how you felt, right? I mean, how would you respond if the Apostle Paul asked you to strive together with him in prayer? I'd be like, well, what do you need my prayers for? But he saw the value in it. He asked them to strive together with him. He said, hey, I'm striving, I'm fighting, and I'm begging God, I want you to join me. So we as a company of believers can strive together. We can make effort. We can exert. We can endeavor with earnestness. We can labor. We can exert our bodies and mind. We can struggle in company. We can partner together in prayer. And what a joy to be able to do that. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a couple of chapters, a couple of books of the Bible over. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Again, the Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, I've actually preached a message about this, you know, the God of all comfort, in the past a couple of years here. Great passage of scripture. He says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So he's talking about experience here, right? We're gaining experience. We're comforted of God, so we can comfort others. And then he goes on and he says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation." So he says, we're being afflicted, and we're going through it so that we can get something, so that we can help you in your afflictions, so you can be helped in your afflictions. And then he says which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffered, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be also of the consolation. So he's saying this is a partnership. He says, and it's a good thing. It's a cause and effect type thing. It's something that we should be joyous to go through. Verse 8, look what he says. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." So he says, hey, look, this was serious. He says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." He says, "Ye also," listen to this, verse 11, "ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." So he said, hey, you had a part in our deliverance. And he says you were helping together by prayer for us. You see, it's and by the way, think about this. This is to the Corinthian church, a carnal church. That in the whole that the 16 chapters in the book before, he was trying to help through their great circumstances and difficulties, right? Righting a lot of wrongs, etc., teaching and training and trying to bring to repentance, you know, and turn around these people. And then he starts out this next letter to them, and he says, "Look, we're not going to have you be ignorant of our difficulties. We were unto the peril of death here, but you were helping with us. You were helping us by prayer." He says, "Helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons." It took a lot of people. It took a lot of effort. It took a great company to strive together for this cause. Take your Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter 4. Well, let's start at Acts chapter 1. We have several in Acts here. Let's start at the beginning. Acts chapter 1. Now remember, this is a critical time for the church. We've studied through the book of Acts, right? Jesus is meeting with them and ascending up into heaven, right? And he's giving the last words here. And in chapter 1, he tells them to wait, right? Verse 4, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me," right? They're supposed to wait. And so in Acts chapter 1, if you look at verse 14, it says that they obeyed, they listened. And it says, "These all continued with one accord in fellowship and feastings." Right? They had some church parties, soup, stews, and chilies, and cookie decorating contests, and Christmas caroling, and bonfires, and s'mores, and cookies, and popcorn. They were all in one accord in prayer and supplication. Together. waiting for the promise of the Father. Now look at chapter 2. Look what happened. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what were they doing? They were all with one accord in one place. Anybody want to take a guess at what they were doing? With prayers and supplications. Listen, this is something important. So the church is going on. Go to chapter 4. By the way, great things happened, right? The Holy Spirit came down. There's preaching. And did the church grow? A little bit. Right? Went from 120 to 3,120 in a day. Glory, hallelujah. No time for a building program, right? we had to do something else. That's why they met together in house to house, by the way. Okay? Because when your church grows exponentially like that, you won't have time to build a building either. Okay? So, look at Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. By the way, their own what? Company. What was it, one of those definitions of the word? They're strived together. It was a struggling in a company. Okay, so they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they, who's they? The company. Okay? When the company, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with what? There's that word again. All right, this is not a Honda. This is a group of people in agreement. By the way, if you're going to strive together, you're in agreement, one accord. By the way, that's the way to pray, right? When we get together, we shouldn't all pray different things. You know, like, okay, we have this situation. I'm going to pray this way. You pray that way. That way we'll hedge both sides of it. No, that's stupid. Okay, that might work in finances, but it doesn't work here. This is not finances, right? We're not trying to hedge our bets, if you will. We shouldn't make bets, by the way. But you're not trying to hedge things. No, we should be praying in one accord. We should, by the way, we're going to read another passage of scripture. Guess what it's going to say? We should agree in prayer. Not disagree. In prayer. Okay, here they are. In one accord and said, Lord, by the way, what are they doing? Lifting up their voice to God. What is that, everybody? That's prayer. A solemn address to the supreme being. Lifting up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. By the way, they're struggling together against the cause of Christ. So why shouldn't we struggle together for the cause of Christ? I just thought that was interesting that they mentioned that in their prayer as a company. He says here, we're gathered together for to do whosoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants. They're striving together. They say, God, there's this great company over here striving against us. And here we are, a great company striving together for us. God, be on our side. Right? Isn't that the right thing to do? We ought to have the Lord on our side. Amen? But we're striving together. So he says, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled. They were all filled. The company. The apostles that met together that were you know, maligned and beaten and persecuted, they came to the company. And the company strove together in prayer. And when the company strove together in prayer, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them. Day of Pentecost, all accord in one place, all filled with the Holy Ghost. By the way, why do you think Paul mentioned the Spirit there in our text in Romans 15? Isn't that important? By the way, if I'm going to strive together in prayer, I would want every believer that has the Holy Spirit in them to be striving together. Because that's a lot of the Holy Spirit in that prayer. Y'all get what I'm saying? You say, but how can you? Well, just multiply, right? If I have the Holy Spirit and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's twice as much. You say, the Holy Spirit is just one thing. Is it? Doesn't He indwell all of us? Hey, I'm just saying, there's more power there. We ought to desire that God meet together with us. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Over in James 5, doesn't it say, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. By the way, isn't that good? Individual prayer. Good, right? Okay? Is there any merry? Let him sing songs. Any sick among you? Let him pray alone in his closet for healing, right? What does it say? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Why? Let me ask you why. Why is that? More power. Striving together in prayer. Hey, yes, you can wrestle God on your own. And by the way, I'm for it. But why not strive together? Why not try to get a hold of him in one accord? And in fullness. Now, by the way, Paul did not write to every church and tell them to strive together. Otherwise, we'd have seen it all the times in all the letters, right? But he did to the Romans. He said, look, I need you to strive together with me. Does that mean that means it kind of was important, wasn't it? Something kind of special. And by the way, this is something kind of special. Maybe not all things are necessary for us to strive together, but boy, are there some things. And we need to learn to strive together in prayer. Remember in Acts 16, Paul and Silas were praying together. He said, well, that's easy. They were chained together. So if you're chained together, you might as well pray together. Okay. But they could have prayed separately. But they didn't. You know, Paul, giant of the faith, right? Certainly, Paul could have brought about the shaking of the prison and the loosening of the bands by himself. But he didn't do it by himself. He did it with his partner in crime, Silas. By the way, was Silas some spiritual giant? Not that we can really tell in Scripture he wasn't. But boy, he was useful in a battle. That spiritual battle of prayer. Striving together with Paul. By the way, good things happen there? I'd say so. Anybody ever read the book of Philippians? Good book of the Bible. Guess how that church was started? By two saints of God striving together in prayer. For those people. Acts chapter 12. Remember when Herod stretched forth his hands to vex the church? Killed James? Imprisoned Peter? What did the church do? Acts chapter 12. It says that when he was put in prison, right? It says Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer, this is verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. A company. By the way, where were they? Jerusalem. How big was this church? Big. They stopped numbering. 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, multiplied multitudes saved. Big church. Lots of prayers. Big company. Striving together in prayer. By the way, big result? Yes. Verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, He said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod. By the way, he thought it was a dream. You know, he thought he was dead. You know? And Miss Rhoda, you know, the people there, they said, oh, it's his ghost. He's dead. It's not him knocking at the door, you know? But he finds it, he kind of comes to himself outside the prison. He's like, wow, no chains, no soldiers. I'm just standing here in the dark all alone. Wow, amazing. Striving together? Did it work? It worked. By the way, it says here, when they came to the house, right? It says in verse 12, it tells us where they were. He considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Gathered together praying. Matthew 18, Jesus says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear him, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Why is that important? It's important because it's striving together in prayer. You see, I guess we all know this. But I really don't understand. I don't think we really understand the magnitude of striving together in prayer. It's an important thing. Paul, as he was finishing his journeys and such, they prayed together. He knew going to Jerusalem was going to be a difficult thing. And even though he was warned not to go, he knew he had to go. He was bound in the spirit to go. But I hope you understand that what they did is they knelt down on the shore and they prayed. And they strove together in prayer. He asked the church in Rome to pray for him together, to strive together with him. Take your Bibles and just one last place here in Galatians 6. I just want you to know today that you're not alone in this thing of prayer. That is something that we should and could do together. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, deal with it by yourself. Right? Don't share it with anybody because you might be embarrassed. Just struggle through. You can make it on your own. Strive by yourself to get victory over this sin by yourself, right? Is that what it says? No, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness. By the way, not only will it be a help to the person that's struggling in that sin, it'll be a warning and a help to us who are not struggling in that sin. It's beneficial. Striving together is beneficial for both the one stuck in the difficulty and the ones that are outside of the difficulty, helping the one stuck in the difficulty. It's a benefit for all. He says, "Bear ye, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. But let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what that has to do with? That has to do with striving. Don't quit. Put in the effort and win the victory. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, we're supposed to be working together. In Romans 12, Paul says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave unto that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We're supposed to do this together. And that means this thing of prayer too. I just love what Paul says. I don't know why, but to my recollection, I was studying and this passage came to my mind, I don't ever remember reading this verse before. Now I know I've read it many times, but it's never stuck out to me like this before. But this verse, where he says that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. It just meant so much more because of our study on this thing of prayer this year. And you know what, folks? I think we all could do better to have a partner in prayer. You know, husbands and wives, it's great to pray together. And that's a good start. Families striving together in prayer. But also church family to strive together in prayer. How many of you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have been blessed by the Wednesday night prayer time that we have together? I know I have. And I think it's been a great example of this thing of striving together in prayer. But it is a battle that we're in. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we might as well strive together in this matter of prayer.